What could be so funny?
One eye is sufficient acknowledgement, Henson.
What's so funny about crew evaluations?
How'd you like to be a spider under that table?
No one told you to do that, Henson.
Promote me, please, so I can make lieutenant and have my own room.
My grandfather was from Canada.
I cannot believe this!
So you can get promoted, have more responsibility, and have to get to sleep even earlier?
I am your worst nightmare.
Filled in an ops for a half hour, but I had to degauss the main deflector dish, recalibrate the navigation grid, and use internal sensors to find a lost puppy.
Ops is a very different challenge from tactical.
Mike, why have you called me to the cargo bay? We're supposed to be starting a mission.
Captain, I received notification that you wanted to review the lower decks. I've had the crew cleaning up for days in preparation.
Well, yes, but...
I actually received the memo also. Temporal Command was pleased to see that you're scheduling a tour of the lower decks. Apparently you have not done this, and in fact, it's sort of legendary that Captain Jeff's actually never even seen them.
I know, Ben, but that's not what I meant. Carrie, tell me you understood.
Oh yeah, I totally understood, but that was pretty funny. But since, you know, Ben's officially scheduled the inspection... You don't have any choice. I've put all the information and the checklist on your pad.
Fine. But it's going to have to wait until after we review the Lower Decks mission, which we are actually supposed to be doing. I'm going to have to hire a misinterpreter to read my memos before I send them to you guys from now on.
Or learn to use capitals.
This is the one where we see behind-the-scenes nitty-gritty.
This story was by Ron Wilkerson and Jean-Louise Matthias. It was directed by Gabriel Beaumont and originally aired on February 7th, 1994. Geos ranks this episode 58th of 182 episodes and movies.
Ah.
For trivia, the teleplay was written by Rene Echeverria. He wrote the story or teleplay... For many Star Trek episodes, he produced 138 episodes of DS9 and was executive producer of 41 episodes of Dark Angel, 24 episodes of Castle, 13 episodes of Terra Nova, and 39 episodes of Teen Wolf.
Wow, that's a busy guy.
Yeah. Man, he's into the genre.
Yep. The makeup supervisor was Michael Westmore. He worked on 506 Star Trek episodes and movies from TNG to Enterprise. He also has other genre credits, including The Munsters, Sigmund and the Monsters, Land of the Lost, 2010, Masters of the Universe. You know, I'm never going to be able to say or see anything having to do with Land of the Lost without remembering that time that Mike and Chris jinxed each other on the Sleestak Noise.
So he's been doing makeup since Sigmund the Sea Monster? Holy cow!
Yes.
Up through Enterprise, at least.
Right!
Another bit of trivia, sort of like a jumble of trivia. Cito Jax's death actually originally was not going to be so cut and dry. She was just going to have vanished.
There's a death?
Spoiler alert.
We are doing a review. I assume they've seen it by now. One of the head people was like, no, she's dead. It has to be final. We have to know that she's dead. It's the episode. So then they did everything. They showed the final cutscene, and the guy who had said, no, it has to be final, was like, no, wait, we got to figure out a way to bring her back. She was too awesome. And actually, they were going to bring her back. They actually had a rough idea for a DS9 episode where they were going to find that she had actually been imprisoned, and they were going to bring her back, and they were going to deal with the effects of long-term imprisonment and torture on a person's psychology. It was going to be like a Dax kind of episode.
Wow.
But it actually ended up being turned into Hard Time, which is when O'Brien ends up virtually serving a huge sentence.
Huh. Yeah,
that was going to be the episode where they get her back.
O'Brien.
And it was going to be her that was dealing with all of that.
So, what gets done when there aren't any murder plots, giant energy beings, or diplomatic missions at stake? Apparently, all the paperwork. Riker and Troy are working on crew evaluations during dinner. It appears to be either a boring or a tiring process.
Why don't we just give everybody a pin and call it a night, Commander?
Fine with me, Captain.
Ah.
light banter.
Classic banter. Some of the junior crew are also at dinner and seem to know it's crew evaluation time.
Think promotion.
You can't really believe that what you're doing will influence the outcome of your evaluation.
Promotion.
It's a time-honored strategy, Torek.
The Vedics of the Janlin Order maintain a round-the-clock chant for the benefit of the Bajoran people.
Considering the history of your planet, that doesn't exactly validate what he's doing.
Oh, I love the sassy Vulcan.
Oh.
I love sassy Vulcan.
Oh,
classic Vulcan humor.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, so there's this thing in 10-4, and this is the first time I remember seeing this. Now, it might be earlier on, with multiple levels and apparently these types of spheres. It's some type of board game that they play.
I think they're gumdrops.
I think it's how Q-Bert has evolved.
I was thinking that, too.
I think it's just fancy Checkers or Othello.
I don't know. If somebody knows the name to that, I would love to know the name to that game. And I'm wondering if that's a board that they got from some other game.
It looks like it.
Are we going to
be, though?
Post a picture of that for when we release this?
Yeah, sure. I got a good picture of it.
Yeah, it is a good picture.
Because they have one set that's with black and white balls and one set with red and blue balls.
Yep.
All right, well, we get to see Riker run some of the junior crew through a simulation. I guess we should talk about this a little bit, though. So I think it's cool seeing... I always like these types of episodes where we see things from a different perspective, like Data's Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is another one that's like that. And I also like crew evaluations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just because you like to do crew evaluations.
Oh, yeah,
because
I get a lot
some
more.
Some form of torture.
Yeah.
It is a lot more fun for me than it is for Riker, apparently.
Yeah, I think so.
But, no, I mean, that's something that every one of us has to go through. And so we're all familiar with it. And, you know, everybody wants that promotion.
Not me.
We're going through evaluations at work because my department is brand new. And we're getting to the end of the, you know, the evaluation period. And we got our letters. Basically, it was like the Goodnight Wesley version of an evaluation letter because it was, your evaluation period's almost over. We'll be doing your evaluation soon. Just like to remind you, we can fire you for every reason because we're an at-will work state.
Nice.
Thanks.
We're really into that morale thing.
That's yeah. Right. The floggings will continue until morale improves.
That letter came out and everyone was like, are we getting fired? I'm like, no, I think that's just a really not unsensitive person's version of a form letter.
I thought it was, you know, Vulcan humor.
That too.
So we see Riker, Riker run some of the junior crew through a simulation. He has helpful feedback.
What happened back there, Ensign?
I'm sorry, of course, I had to relock phasers before I could fire.
Next time, try letting the locking relay float until the actual order to fire is given. They may not teach that trick at the academy, but it works.
He's so angry about it.
I know.
That's just his regular voice.
I don't know.
He has suave and resting angry voice.
Yes.
I was going to use like, the face, yes. Resting face, but I don't think I can say that on here.
Oh. Well, no, I was just going to say, it's totally like, you know, Zoolander and all his looks. Riker and all his voices.
That's right.
Well, actually, William Frakes, he does pretty good because he's in some cartoons.
I love him when he does voice work in cartoons.
So it's not like, it's just this particular episode.
Yeah.
Or maybe not the episode, maybe it's just a scene. So let's find out. Picard comes in with a course change and some new orders.
Helm, change course for the Agaia system. Maximum warp.
Aye, sir.
What happened to the rendezvous with the Clement?
I just received new orders from Starfleet. We'll discuss it in the observation lounge. Mr. Data, Mr. Worf.
I like this. You know, actually, so, and again, we kind of see it from the regular person's point of view.
Yes.
It's like, oh, something's happening, but we don't know what it is.
Right.
And yeah, we don't get to know.
They just leave.
Right, on every other episode, the camera would follow them. But here it's like, no, we're going to see what these two guys are doing.
Yeah. You don't really want to know what's going on. Just wait.
Right.
Well, Sito and Lavelle, who know they are competing for the same job, wonder about this change of plans.
The Agaia system's close to the Cardassian border. I wonder why we're going there.
And console each other about their performance.
You did really well during the drill.
Well, apparently Commander Riker didn't think so. I swear he's got it in for me.
You're imagining things.
Yeah? And how come you're sitting in that chair instead of me?
I guess you figured I needed more practice than you do.
Nice.
Yes.
I actually totally think Riker does have it in for him. Because he acts like Riker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's like Riker Jr.
We already know Riker doesn't get along with himself because there is another him.
Yes.
And they hate each other.
You know, it's like when you have the old alpha dog and you bring a new dog in and it totally doesn't like the new dog because it's trying to figure out if it can be alpha dog. That's totally what's going on here with the two of them.
Nailed it.
And plus, they almost have the same hair.
Yes.
I'm sure that was on purpose, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we forgot to say that Tarek is providing some unsolicited advice.
You have a minute.
Sure, Tarek, what is it?
I'd like you to take a look at something.
Have you been improvising again, Ensign?
In a manner of speaking, I'm running a computer simulation to test a new warp field configuration.
Can I say the one thing I found interesting about this scene that happens right after this? He does show him that, and and Geordi is actually impressed by what he's showing. He has gotten pre-release versions of this guy's technical report.
Yes.
His article. That Geordi hasn't even seen yet.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That shows he has contacts.
Right.
For an ensign, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. But I think Geordi, he acts a little standoffish at first.
Well, I kind of get the impression that this guy's doing this a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
He thinks he's brilliant.
And well, he might be brilliant, but he spends so much time being brilliant that...
And remember, Geordi already has to deal with all of the ideas and suggestions from Data being his best friend.
and whenever Wesley Crusher comes down.
Right!
Yeah.
So it's a wonder that he didn't just haul off and smack this guy.
Although Crusher's off the show at this point.
Right.
Because I think it's really just a yes, you're brilliant, but you can't just rewrite ship software because you think it's a good idea.
Yes, you're really brilliant, but please stop.
We really don't want to use beta software on the flagship.
No, you can't. No, this is why he is so standoffish. No, Wesley, you can't do your science experiment on the main drive.
Right. Yes.
We know where that ended up last time.
And the last time somebody new did it, it was the Traveler.
Oh, God. Yep.
I like Mike. He can't even say that.
Yeah, why do you have it in for the Traveler? He's so cool.
He likes you.
Maybe in the mirror universe.
I happen to know that the Traveler likes you, Mike.
It's kind of like those Skype updates. Do you want to update? Or iTunes.
Yeah.
I see you're running iTunes 10. Now we have iTunes 14. Don't you want to update? No.
He appreciates another being that can be in more than one place at the same time, just like him.
I'm sure he does.
He's just racist. Doesn't like bumpy heads.
There's only one of them. I hate the one guy. That's not racist.
It is if he's the only one.
Oh yeah,
you hate the entire. No, actually, hate the entire race.
Then
you
it's
actually
not a
do.
Race. Then it's not a race. It's a biological accident.
Oh.
Maybe everybody else has died, and you're not only are you hating a not only are you a racist, you're being mean to the last member of his own race. That'd be like being mean to Superman.
No.
Oh, hey. If he's like the only one left, like you could have one of those like dinners where you eat him. What they do with like the endangered animal dinners?
Endangered species dinner. Illegal dinner.
Yeah.
Good thing he doesn't eat.
Yes.
All right. Well, we got off on a tangent there. All right. So even Beverly Crusher has to work on crew evaluations, but she is much more open with information for her journey officer.
If you're wondering about the evaluations, things couldn't be better. In fact, I'm recommending you for a promotion. How does Lieutenant Alyssa Ogawa sound?
I think it sucks.
You don't like how that sounds?
No. Well, I mean, I'm saying, like, I'm recommending you for a promotion, but you might not get it.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where technically the captain gives the promotion, but he doesn't know who she is, so he's not going to say no.
Yeah.
Technically, all promotions come from the captain, but he's going to do whatever the senior officer responsible for the department says.
I think
you'd know that if you actually looked at the paperwork.
Yeah.
I don't often, like, promote people. It's okay.
All right, so
by the way, I would double check Mike's paperwork when he's offering people promotions because it's probably just for him.
What am I going to promote them to? I still have to do the same job.
He doesn't get any pay anyway.
That's right.
None
I
of
mean,
us
experimental subject is a promotion, right?
You're going to give them superpowers.
Well, the I mean, those are the promotions I put in.
And is it a promotion from what? From Ensign? Maybe.
Maybe she's promoting from sanitation.
I'm not at liberty to divulge that information.
Right.
All right. So
I'm still trying to figure out how I'm not authorized to see that paperwork.
That's a trick. So Beverly follows this up with a discussion of her junior officer's personal life with a weird piece of advice.
If I cared about someone as much as you care about Andrew, he'd have to do a lot more than cancel a date before I'd get suspicious.
What would he have to do?
A lot more.
Well, like what?
What?
Cancel all the dates?
Right. If he started canceling everything they were going to do, I'd start to get worried. But he canceled one date and said, I have to do something. I've got something else I've got to do that night.
If he grew a mustache and started twirling it,
yeah,
that would probably be one.
I mean, but it's just the weirdest thing for her to say.
Well, but it's an answer to the fact that Ogawa's thing was he canceled a date. Oh my God, is he seeing someone else?
Right.
I'm like, girl, are you 13?
I know, and that's kind of it. It's like it's not. No one would just come to that conclusion. He canceled one date, so he must be seeing somebody else.
Well, unless it happened to her before.
Well, it could even be a lead into. Do you have anything else you'd like to tell me?
Right.
Yeah.
Where she could be saying, "Well, he'd have to do a lot more than that for me to be worried."
Right.
But then she doesn't, like, follow through.
But the implication is, did he do more than that?
Yes. And Ogawa doesn't say that he did, so
right.
That's it.
Because it's kind of one of those things where you're putting out there where you're friendly enough to talk about it, but not friendly enough to dig. So you have to put it out there that you can have this conversation with me if you want. I have those conversations at work.
Well, one thing I like to see, though, is that we're seeing Nurse Ogawa here, who we've seen since I think she was in it first season. She's always been a background character. She's occasionally had lines.
Right.
But here we get to see a little bit behind the, well, again, Lower Decks, kind of behind the scenes. And this is the only character that, I don't know about these others. I think some of them showed up for multiple ones. But, I mean, Nurse Ogawa's been there for a long time, kind of like O'Brien.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so,
I think Nurse Ogawa is the only one that we've seen before. And then Sato is given history because Sato is from Wesley's class that got in trouble. So that's how they give her backstory. But the other two, I don't know that we've seen. And they actually were going to have Barkley. And this is, I left this out of trivia. They were actually thinking about having Barkley be one of the Lower Decks, but they figured that he was too, by this point, he had already been the subject of enough episodes that he wasn't considered a nobody.
Yes.
So they're like, well, we can't do that. He is a somebody. He is a cast member.
Yeah.
He has a last name.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. He wouldn't have fit in here.
Well, considering it's military, it's not that he has a last name. He has two names. Because for the longest time, she was just Nurse Ogawa.
Right.
But anyway, it's just something I like. Back in 10 Forward, Sito and Worf are talking. He tells her that he's put her in for the ops promotion. Further away, Lavelle, her main rival for the position, is talking to Ben, the bartender, about Riker.
What could they be talking about? Have you ever considered learning to lip read?
You think Worf's chewing her out?
No, he always looks like that.
Maybe he's giving her pointers on how to land the ops position.
Hi, Will.
Ben.
How you doing?
You call him Will?
Why not?
He's second in command of the ship, that's why not.
I'm not Starfleet. I'm a civilian. When he's in here, he wants to be treated like a civilian.
Riker, I bet he sleeps in his uniform.
You only think that because he's your CO, if you got to know him.
Right.
He's convinced Commander Riker doesn't like him.
Why? Did you crash the ship into something?
No, he just doesn't like me.
He doesn't even know you.
That's right. You should go talk to him.
About what?
Perhaps something you have in common.
He likes jazz, poker, he's Canadian.
Yeah? My grandfather was from Canada.
There you go.
Hi.
Excuse me. I'm gonna go talk to somebody. Good evening, sir.
Lavelle, something I can do for you.
No, sir. I just came to get another drink.
Is there something wrong?
What are you having?
Tricky ale.
Good choice. I'll have one, too. My grandfather was Canadian, you know.
Really?
Aren't you one, too?
A grandfather?
No, Canadian, sir. Canadian.
No, I grew up in Alaska.
Oh. Well, they both get a lot of snow. It was good talking to you, sir.
Yeah.
This is why Riker and Shelby didn't get along. He walks up and Riker's just all about like, nope, 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 nope. There's a line here. Do not cross it. Yeah. I do not want to talk to you.
Okay, well, here's the thing that I didn't like. The bartender totally set him up to fail.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. That's what Riker's thing is. Riker has told the bartender he's Canadian, but when this new up-and-coming guy says, aren't you Canadian? He says, no, I'm from Alaska.
What? How do you know he told him he's Canadian?
Because there isn't any reason for the bartender to have set him up. They're actually friends. They play cards together. They do stuff together. He's trying to get him to be... He's already said he's friends with Riker.
Okay, but so if that's the case, then what is the reasoning for Riker to tell him he's from Canada?
You mean Alaska?
Ben is saying that Riker actually told the bartender he's from Canada.
Right, but Riker tells...
So is he lying to Lavelle, or did he lie to the bartender?
No, he's being an ass to Lavelle, or being a jerk to Lavelle, sorry.
Okay, but Alaska is not Canada.
But if you're born in Canada and then moved to Alaska, because he doesn't say, I'm not Canadian. He says, I was raised in Alaska. So he was Canadian, raised in Alaska. So he's just trying to be a jerk to Lavelle to get Lavelle to go away.
I think you're reading way more into this than is actually there.
I think Ben just wants to give the bartender a pass because his name is Ben.
And speaking of Ben, since he's your namesake...
I also used to be a bartender.
No. I'm just wondering.
And he's also was born in Canada. Oh, wait.
I was raised in Alaska.
Ben, would you wear what he's wearing?
No.
Who wore it better?
So he's got this green jumper with checks on his sleeves. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't often understand the civilian fashion in Star Trek episodes.
I am telling you, when we are done with Treknologic, I'm totally doing... A Star Trek fashion podcast.
You should do that as a special episode.
It's too big. It's way too big.
Too much.
Like when Picard's on Risa, I don't understand what he's wearing through the whole episode.
I don't think anyone understands it. I don't think you're supposed to understand it.
And it even went to Enterprise, you know, when they were on Risa.
Okay, I just got to tell you guys, I Googled TNG bartender Ben and then just looked at images, and the first picture of him with his outfit on, the title is The Ugliest Star Trek Costume.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
I feel
and sorry. I mean, and they got a lot because they got all those, you know, Wesley Crusher sweaters.
Right. You know what it actually makes me think of? It actually makes me think of old school Romulan uniforms.
Oh, yeah, it does kind of have that that pattern in it.
Right, except instead of green, if you change the green to gray, it would totally be the old school Romulan uniform.
His shoulders aren't big enough to be Romulan.
He's a civilian. You only get big soldiers when you're in the military.
Oh, okay.
They're called epaulettes.
Okay, all right. So the Enterprise has made it to the Argaia system and is waiting for their rendezvous right smack at the border of Cardassian space. The other ship is a no-show, but scans into space show that there's an escape pod over there. At least the pod waited until they showed up to start failing.
Conveniently.
Yeah. Yes.
Geordi has to do some quick work to enable the Enterprise to beam in the passenger, and Crusher prepares to receive the passenger. Picard walks with Sito about her meanwhile, Picard talks with Sito about her qualifications for ops.
You are a certified pilot, Ensign.
Yes, sir.
How long have you served on board the Enterprise, Ensign?
7 months, sir.
I understand that you've been recommended for the ops position. Do you think you're up to it?
I do, sir.
I'm not so sure. I'm concerned about your record.
Sir?
The incident that you were involved in at the Academy.
With all due respect, that was 3 years ago. My record since then...
It doesn't matter how long ago it was, Ensign. Would you do something like that again?
I can assure you, sir, that I would never, never jeopardize lives by participating in...
A daredevil stunt? I would certainly hope not. But what concerns me is that you participated in a cover-up that impeded an official investigation into the death of a cadet.
Sir, I know I should have told the truth right from the start.
Yes, you should. But you didn't. Instead, you joined with the others to pretend that that was simply an accident. Now, what do you think that tells me about your character?
Sir, if you had any idea what it was like after that incident, I didn't have any friends. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I had to take my flight test with the instructor because no one else would be my partner. In a lot of ways, it would have been easier to just walk away, but I didn't. I stuck with it. Doesn't that say something about my character, too?
Well, I'm really very sorry you didn't enjoy your time at the Academy, Ensign. As far as I'm concerned, you should have been expelled for what you did. Quite frankly, I don't know how you made it on board this ship. You're dismissed.
I thought Picard was being way mean here, like...
Yes!
Way meaner than he had to be. And it was very unlike him.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It was very un-Picard. I was, like, shocked.
I actually saw this and I'm like, this is a test. Because we know that it has intimate knowledge of that situation.
Right.
We know there's no way one of the other cadets involved with this situation got on board without Picard having something flagged.
Yes. Well, I mean, I knew that's the thing is I knew he would know what happened. But to wait till like now, it was just so weird and out of character. I was like, maybe he's been taken over by an alien or something.
Well, that's why I'm like, this has got to be a test. He's got to be giving her some sort of, like, test. Because, well, my initial thought when I saw this was, he's testing her because he wants to know if it was a fumble of the controls or a fumble of her nerves when she didn't fire fast enough. That was my initial thought. Did she get rattled and mess up? Let me rattle her and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because we know she's up for promotion to, you know, one of the ops. Big chairs.
Was it ops? I think so, yeah.
Ops. Yeah, ops. Yep, one of the big chairs.
And, you know, he wants to make sure that if she's going to have the ability to take over the ship, she can handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's hard to see him like this, though.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I did not like it.
It's almost as bad as seeing him in the first season with... With kids. You don't know I hate kids.
Yes.
God.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. His reaction to kids.
Right.
Like his kryptonite.
Maybe he had an allergy.
You know, it would have been nice if at some point they actually gave us a story that explained that.
No, I think they just forgot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't that important.
It's like,
there were episodes about it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's important.
Especially, you know, once it got around to how much he actually cared for his nephew and how well he interacted with him.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, okay, that's likely the only child you've actually dealt with. Right. Where's this hatred coming from?
Right.
Torek and Geordi are testing firearms on one of the shuttles.
Sir, I'm a little puzzled. Why are we intentionally testing shuttlecraft?
We're evaluating hull resiliency. Starfleet requires periodic testing.
I see. I don't believe I'm familiar with that requirement.
Probably because you're not a senior officer.
Mind your own business.
You know what? All Geordi would have had to do was pull up some of the old footage of crash tests.
Yeah.
With automobiles. Here you go. We've been doing this for 300 years.
No, I really prefer the officer speak for mind your own business.
Yes.
Okay, what I liked about it was the set.
Yes, the set was cool.
I don't know if I'd have seen that top upper level before.
Maybe once or twice. I think it has been used before.
It's just, I don't know, it's nice because you see him up there and then you also see him go behind that control panel up at the top.
Yeah, yeah. I seem to remember at some point, wasn't there where they lost containment and somebody was holding onto those bars up there but so they didn't get blown out into space?
Or so they could fall off of them.
Right.
I seem to recall when one of the shuttles got miniaturized that it was flying in this set.
What? When a shuttle got miniaturized?
They underspaced a shuttle?
Was that the Next Generation animated episode?
Were there X-waves?
They hit it with X-waves?
Yeah.
Possibly.
You're totally making this up, man.
No, I swear I remember that.
That was the episode when Data invented a shrink ray?
Okay, fans, you gotta let me know whether or not I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, whether or not you're crazy or whether or not you're remembering this right, because I'm pretty sure on the ship you have to be crazy.
Well, in this particular situation, if my memory is craziness.
That is hilarious. We could build a whole episode around that.
We could.
With Ben being crazy or with the shuttle being shrunk?
Yes.
Although now that I think about it, it probably would have been Wesley Crusher that invented a shrink ray accidentally.
Yeah.
On purpose.
I seem to remember they flew through some nebula that shrunk them.
Honey, I shrunk the shuttle.
It was a spiroid nebula.
And I'm sure Rick Moranis was somehow involved in it.
Right, and finally we get to see the anonymous VIP they picked up because Crusher has to do an emergency surgery. It's a Cardassian. That was actually pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was looking at the transcript and it's like, it doesn't say it's a Cardassian, it says, it's a spoonhead.
All right, now that's racist.
Yes.
I'm just telling you what the transcript said. You see that I said it's a Cardassian.
Right. Okay, I'm completely misremembering which series that episode was on, but it is in fact an episode. It's called One Little Ship. It's in DS9. And actually, the picture for the episode in Memory Alpha is a shuttle pushing a button on a control panel. I had to find out.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
Yeah.
So after we see the Cardassian, the next bits that we see are kind of like a juxtaposition of the junior officer poker game and the senior officer poker game.
Yes.
Right. And so in the junior officer one, they have no clue what's going on because they don't get to know anything. So they're speculating on who the VIP is.
Right. Well, it's not that they don't know anything. It's that each person has a piece of information that they're not allowed to share with anyone else.
Right. And only one of them actually knows who it is. And that's Ogawa. And she's really good at bluffing.
Yes.
So they have, I mean, she does not let them know, it's totally a Cardassian.
Right.
In fact, they even think it's like Spock.
Yes.
That's what I think, isn't that Ben? That's
yes. Ben says somebody told him it was Spock.
You know, and he's
everyone else is like, no.
Yeah. But he's not allowed to reveal his sources.
Right.
So the senior officers during their game, they're discussing, wait for this, the personal and professional lives of the junior officers. It's like gossip.
Yep. Well, it's kind of gossip and kind of review.
Well, yeah, it's kind of sparring because, you know, during the conversation, it becomes obvious that those reviews go through Riker before they get to Picard. And Riker's like, yeah, I don't think I agree with you. Like, Worf's like, well, I disagree with you.
Well, and that was more referring to Crusher and, like, Troy talking about Ogawa's boyfriend.
Well, yeah, but Picard, oh my God, I cannot get into the Crusher is kind of friends with Ogawa, so she knows. Right. And then, but then you have the ship's counselor giving counselor advice.
Right, that I saw him with a girl.
Well, okay, well, that wasn't so much counselor advice.
No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how, like, maybe he's cheating on her was what they came up with in that.
Right.
But after that, then they go back to the juniors officer game. And I like how they kind of, like, the flip between them.
Yes.
It kind of, like, picks up the conversation in kind of the same place.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the scene in Fifth Element where there's all the different people talking about the stones. And, like, the person in conversation A asks a question. And then they cut to conversation B where somebody's answering it because they're explaining what's right. going on.
Yeah, they're answering that same question for someone else.
Right.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, so that it was a good juxtaposition between them where it went back and forth.
Right.
But when they go back to the junior officers game, the discussion turns to Sito's conversation with Picard and Lavelle's fascination with why Riker hates him.
It would be illogical for the captain to deny you a promotion for something you did as a cadet.
He said it shows I don't have character.
What did you say?
What could I say? Maybe he's right.
Hey, you're a damn fine officer, and you deserve that post as much as anyone. One thing's for sure, I won't be getting it. Not if it's up to Riker.
I'm gonna take over the next sentence here. When they cut back, that's true.
I know.
Riker's thoughts are, oh, I don't like him. I don't want him.
Right? And that's exactly what happens is, you know, Lavelle just has this, like, huge obsession with Riker because he's his commanding officer, right? And so
right.
he wants that promotion so he can have his own room and, you know, not
just
that's
move
not
up. I think he's got ambition.
He has ambition. But, yeah, but it is also to have his own room.
Well, yeah.
Because probably that Torek guy just stays up all the time.
Thinking improving. Of more things he could do to the ship.
Yeah, thinking more ways to improve the ship. But yeah, they go back to the senior officer game, and Riker actually at this point does start complaining about Lavelle.
Besides, I'm not convinced about Lavelle.
Really? Why?
He's too eager to please. He's always trying to ingratiate himself to me.
Well, I assume he's doing that to get the job.
50. Here's your 50. And 100 more.
I don't know. It seems to me that you and Lavelle are a lot alike.
What? We're not at all alike.
You're bluffing.
Dang, there's another, there's one, there's the Riker what for our what collection. We need to get that.
Yeah.
I like how her, you're bluffing is a double entendre.
Right. And that's kind of why I left that in at the very end, because there's more than just that one. And so it was really interesting to see that too. And of course, you know, we have to go back to the fact that he doesn't, like, she's pointing in his face. It's because he's like you.
Yes.
I noticed no one else at the table, like, jumped on that one.
No, they don't even talk. They totally ignore that conversation.
Because I think only Troy gets to have that kind of conversation with him.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe Picard too, but definitely Troy.
Right.
So, and we get to see even more of the junior officer game where now, unlike the senior officer game where only Troy gets to talk and give advice to Riker, all the others are giving Lavelle advice about his Riker situation.
You know, Sam, maybe you shouldn't try so hard with Riker. It doesn't matter whether he likes you, as long as he respects you.
He must, otherwise he would not be considering you for the ops position.
You're probably right. Maybe I'm just telling myself that he hates me so that if I don't get promoted, I'll have an excuse.
I actually think that's a really mature thing for them to have come to right there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's wrong. It's completely correct that Riker doesn't like you. But, you know.
At least it'll make you feel better.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Although, I mean, they do tell him he's professional, so it doesn't matter whether or not he likes you.
Right.
But we know from seeing the other scene that that's completely BS.
Right. I know. And so it's nice to be like in both parts of the conversation.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And so after this, we go back to the senior officer game and Geordi is leaving, probably because Riker cleaned him out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Troy is showing Riker a whole lot of his own truth.
Didn't you tell me that you took up poker so you could be in the officer's game with the Potemkin?
I happen to like poker.
But your senior officers might have thought that you were trying to ingratiate yourself. I guess it's lucky that they realized that you were young and inexperienced and decided not to hold it against you.
Maybe I have been a little hard on Lavelle.
I do not believe he is bluffing.
I love how they add that in, like Riker's being honest and Riker's lying.
Right. That is good.
It's like perfect. It's perfect bookends there. But, you know, it also refers to the actual card game that they're playing, too.
Yes. And I believe he actually was bluffing.
Yes. Yes, he was bluffing.
No, Riker was not. Lavelle was.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because Riker won, Lavelle lost, and Ben took out all the coins.
Yep.
Yeah.
Geordi stops by Tarek's room, interrupting the group's conversation about why Geordi is annoyed with Tarek's suggestions. Geordi asks Tarek to accompany him to work on the nacelles. That's so nice. The next day, Worf calls Incensito aside after a martial arts class and tells her about his advanced class. To join it, she has to pass a test.
Gichtal?
Yes, it is a very ancient Klingon ritual. It tests your knowledge of the forms of the Mukbarra.
I should practice first.
No, no practice. That is part of the ritual. The test must be unannounced.
The idea of the test is that she has to defend herself blindfolded against Worf's attacks. She fails several times and takes her blindfold off.
How am I supposed to defend myself when I can't see a thing?
Stop making excuses. Replace the blindfold.
No! It's not a fair test.
Very good, Ensign. You have passed the challenge.
What, by taking off the blindfold?
It takes courage to say the test is unfair.
One thing I don't understand. Doesn't Gichtal mean to the death?
You speak Klingon.
Sir, is there really such a thing as a Gichtal challenge?
No, there is not. But perhaps next time you are judged unfairly, it will not take so many bruises for you to protest.
So this is Worf, who clearly knows that she got a dressing down by the captain.
Yes.
And he's telling her, you know, instead of just taking it, you should have stood up for yourself, which I really like.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like, you speak Klingon.
Yeah.
Your language isn't secret, Worf.
I think he's just impressed.
Right. She should have said that. No, I thought like half the words meant to the death in Klingon.
Yeah, that is true.
Actually, this is a really cool scene because, I don't know, in many times, unless it's a Klingon episode, Worf is kind of a background character. He makes a suggestion and everybody says no.
Right.
You know, there's all those videos about that. And here we see, he's really officer material.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, he teaches by beating people up.
Well, sometimes.
Well, technically, she's a security officer.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. She was, you know, I don't know, blindfolded. It was probably a stunt double, but the character was getting thrown around quite a bit.
Yes, she was.
I also like... Go ahead.
He was not taking it easy on her at all.
No.
I also liked when Geordi leaves to go and get Tarek, because I kind of get the impression that they're sort of all taking a heart-to-heart of their proteges with what Troy is pointing out to Riker.
Yeah.
Because she's like, well, you don't like him because he's like you. He's ambitious. He's, you know, pushing. He's trying to impress you, but that's the same thing you did when you were a student. And then suddenly Geordi's like, I've got to go work on the nacelles.
Yeah. Right.
This is obviously their evening, because normally when they end these, they go to bed.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, I like how good. They all seem to have junior officers that are a lot like them.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't say that Sito is a lot like Worf.
And Worf went through a period where he had issues knowing where he fit in.
Yeah.
Not exactly like him now, but I could see Worf going through a period where he didn't know if he was going to fit in because, well, for her, it was because she actually did something wrong, but for him, right. It was because he was Klingon.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the conversation with Worf is enough to send her back to Picard.
All I've ever wanted is to make a career for myself in Starfleet. I can't change what happened at the Academy. No one can. All I can do is work hard and try to earn the respect of the people I serve with. If you're not going to give me that chance, then I respectfully request that you transfer me to another ship.
If you're looking for a more lenient commander, I don't think you'll find one.
Permission to speak freely, sir?
Please do.
If you want me on your ship, you should have said so when I was assigned to it. It's not your place to punish me for what I did at the Academy. I've worked hard here. My record is exemplary. If you're going to judge me for what I am now.
Very well, Ensign. I will. It took courage to come here and face me after what I said to you the other day. I didn't ask you here because I was assessing your qualifications for the ops position.
I don't understand, sir.
I was harsh with you because I wanted to assess you for a very important mission. A mission that could put you in a situation that would be far more unnerving than a dressing down by your commanding officer.
Can I ask what that mission is, sir?
Join the senior officers in the observation lounge at 0900 hours. We'll discuss it then.
Yes, sir.
And Ensign, I do know why you ended up on the Enterprise. I asked for you. I wanted to make sure that you got a fair chance to redeem yourself.
When he says, very well, and stands up, I'm like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe he just doesn't like her because he's got that look on his face.
Yeah, that's weird to keep it going for just this extra few seconds.
Yes. And then he's like, it's because you're awesome. this is just me completely reading into this. I feel like this was his attempt at a second Ro Laren. Like, he had Ro Laren. He gave Ro, or gave Laren, all the opportunity that he could. He did everything he could to let her succeed in Starfleet, and she ended up running anyway.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is his, like, he's like, okay, well, I failed with this other Bajoran, but I have this other chance. I want to get a Bajoran that's going to be good in Starfleet.
Man, well then, isn't that the universe kicking him in the teeth?
Yeah.
But she did.
Yeah.
She did do good by Starfleet, even though she died.
Well, shining moments.
Right. Well, Laren did good by Starfleet up until she ran away, too.
Well, yeah, but she turned her back on Starfleet. This Sito didn't. Sito.
Well, what I'm saying is she didn't really have a chance to develop farther for you to find out if she could be his corrected Ro Laren or not.
Well, I think that's what this scene, but that's what I think this scene is. Because Ro Laren was just like, nobody's ever going to trust me, I'm out.
Right.
And this girl's like, no, I've done good.
You're saying is he just skipped to the end?
Yes. This was like, in Ro Laren's story, this would be when Ro Laren left.
Right.
But she's like, no, I'm better than that. You don't have any right to judge me on that. This is what I've done. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. And now he's immediately got to send her out to die. Possibly die. Probably
yeah,
die.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
But the look on everybody's face, everyone's thinking, you're going to probably die. Because even worse, like, are you sure?
Right.
And I kind of feel like this is a counterpoint to the Ro Laren story.
Yeah. All right, well, Crusher seems like she's going to tell Ogawa about the possibility that her boyfriend might be cheating on her. But Ogawa assumes that Crusher knows something else.
He asked me to marry him.
Alyssa, that's wonderful. Oh, I'm so relieved. I mean, happy.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes.
And she's so happy she doesn't even really notice.
Right.
It's in that statement.
Yeah. But
Well, I was going to say, it's not an out of line statement considering the last time they talked, she's like, I think he's.
Well, yeah, that's interested. True. She could have covered if she said something about and said it was about that.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting because Crusher is really the only one that with her junior officer has
an off duty relationship.
Yeah. Where they've become friends. Although Worf is like as close as you can be with.
Yes.
That's as friendly as you can get with Worf.
Yeah. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, you also have to consider, like, with them being medical career, I mean, how much horrible things do they deal with that they've got to be close?
Yep.
You know, how many people can you watch die while you're all standing in the same room before you're close?
Well, let me tell you.
It happens a lot.
From a hospital perspective, surgical teams, they all kind of, you know, they have a team and they work together. They, you know, they're used to each other's movements and everything like that. And so, it's funny because if you go into different operating rooms, the different teams have totally different flavors for, you know, there's one group that's just laughing and having fun.
Right.
And there's the one that's clockwork.
Right. Yeah. It's, and then there's the group that always swears and
yes.
So, I mean, I think you're right about medical professionals is that if they're always working together, they see a whole lot together, and that is definitely a natural bond.
And obviously, Ogawa's on Crusher's operating team because when it comes in, she's like, okay, you're in on the secret. Get in here.
Right.
Yep.
I need you now. You are here with me. You're my nurse.
All right, moving on. Sito is introduced to Jorette, a Cardassian who is also a Federation informant. Worf, Riker, LaForge, and Picard are there with her and brief her on the mission.
If I were alone, the chances of my succeeding would be slim. But if I had a prisoner with me, a Bajoran terrorist, I would appear to be a bounty hunter. Border crossings of that nature are not uncommon, and for a price, the patrol can be convinced to look the other way.
Once the shuttle is safely past the patrol, Jorette will put you into an escape pod and return you back across the border.
This seems weird.
Yes. Yeah.
We hadn't heard a lot about Cardassian bounty hunters.
No, you don't.
Although it'd be cool. We need more bounty hunters in Star Trek.
That shoot first?
Yeah.
Yes. That is important if you're a bounty hunter.
Well, it does seem weird to me because somehow he has acquired information that Starfleet is considering this important that they're willing to possibly sacrifice an ensign to get him back in to get more information.
Yeah.
But they're not going to know who he is when he crosses back over to the border to the point that he can pass as a bounty hunter. I can totally see Cardassian bounty hunters. I can totally see, you know, wealthy Cardassians paying to have Bajorans brought back who, you know, were, you know, their personal terrorist during the occupation.
Yeah.
I can't see how he could be in a position to get this information without other people knowing who he is.
Yeah.
Right. He has to be somebody in the know.
Right.
Well, and he's in the military, he says.
Right.
Picard says he will not order her to take part in the mission because it is so dangerous. She volunteers and is sent to sickbay to prepare. She's also told not to discuss the mission with anyone.
Why are you doing this? Risking your life for Starfleet.
I don't consider myself a traitor, if that's what you're asking. All my life, I've served in the military. Once, it was an institution dedicated to the security of Cardassia. Now, it's little more than a platform for ambitious gulls hoping to make their reputations in battle. If the information I've provided helps Starfleet deter even one point skirmish, I've served my purpose. I'm sick of war.
I never thought I'd hear a Cardassian say something like that.
And I never thought a Bajoran would risk her life to help a Cardassian get home.
It was nice to see that there are Cardassians that are sick of war. That they're not just an entire warmongering race.
Well, I also like that this was an interaction that was completely not racist. She didn't hate him. He didn't hate her.
Right.
They both did what was good. And there was no underlying, I'm never going to get over my hatred of you, despite everything I've seen otherwise that we get from Kira.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it would have been a little bit better if the Cardassian looked old. And that might show you a way that, you know, he could be old and still have access to secrets and stuff like that, but not be the captain of a...
Right.
A warship.
Right. Well, and I didn't think he looked much older than her, and he did comment on that he didn't think that she would be so young, which I also liked that he was, you know, we lack a better word than human enough, but he was human enough to see her and be like, oh God, she's so young and she might not come home.
Right.
Well, as soon as they started talking about how young she was, I'm like, oh, she's dead.
Well, I just thought, I thought he should be older because, I mean, O'Brien was in a war. Wasn't that like 10 years ago with the Cardassians?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, it seems like for him to remember a time when Cardassians weren't as militaristic, it seems like he should be 50, 60 years old or something.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a spoon enhancement.
A spoon lift? He had a spoon lift.
Oh.
All right, well, Sito's absence is noted among the junior officers.
But we have to accept the fact that we're not always told about everything that happens aboard ship.
Well, we can at least tell each other what we know.
Sure. Sure you can.
They can't.
No.
Right.
And it's like, he's the only one that doesn't realize that.
Well, and he's also the only one that does not have a secret. That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's the only one that doesn't realize that.
Just like Riker. I have to say, I find it out of character that by this point, it is obvious that all of the senior officers know that this group hangs out together and they are good friends. They tell her that she cannot speak to anyone and she vanishes off the ship.
Well, yeah, but clearly they all know she's been sent on a mission.
Well, right. So why wouldn't they say, just tell your friends they're on a mission, but you can't tell them anything else? Why make them curious? I don't understand that.
No.
I don't understand that mentality.
He said you can't talk to anyone about this mission. That doesn't mean she can't say, I'm being sent on a mission.
Right.
Well, then I think it's weird on her part that she doesn't. Because they say, where did she go? They don't know if she went on a mission. She's just gone, as far as their conversation goes. Where do you think she went? Well, I think she went on that shuttle.
Right.
Well, I mean, the only one really saying that is, you know, the guy who has no idea. The other people, right. I think, are just, like, covering for the fact that they kind of know.
Yes, but still, I mean, I still think, especially in a situation like this where you have somebody you're sending on a mission, you know there's a tight-knit group of friends, to be like, okay, well, just tell them you're going on a mission. Because by this point they have all been in the same room looking at the group of friends.
Yes, right. But I think that's on Sito. I think it's her who didn't tell them.
Maybe she's taking the secret thing too far.
Yes.
Especially on our first secret mission.
Because Picard just said, do not discuss this mission with anyone. That doesn't mean you can't say, I'm being sent on a mission, and I can't discuss it with you.
All right. After some time passes, the Enterprise is waiting for Sito's escape pod. They take a risk and launch a probe into Cardassian space, where they find the remains of an escape pod. With the intercepted report from Cardassia about the killing of an escaping Bajoran prisoner, they know what happened.
To all Starfleet personnel, this is the captain. It is my sad duty to inform you that a member of the crew, Ensign Sito Jaxa, has been lost in the line of duty. She was the finest example of a Starfleet officer, and a young woman of remarkable courage and strength of character. Her loss will be deeply felt by all who knew her. Picard out.
The good thing here is it looks like the agent got back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he did what he was supposed to do, but then she was killed.
Right.
So at least her death meant something, I guess.
Yes, because the mission was successful, just her return was not.
Yeah.
I would have liked for Jarrett to show up at least one other time.
Yeah.
Or even just mentioned we got a report from our agent Jarrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, having continuity is nice. But, I mean, we all saw this kind of coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's finish this one off. In 10 forward, Sito's friends gather to remember her. Worf is there, too, by himself.
I just got promoted.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Just doesn't feel right. For all I know, she was going to get the promotion instead of me.
You shouldn't feel that way, Sam.
She would have been happy for you, Sam.
The best way to remember her would be to excel in your new position.
We're proud of you, Sam.
Excuse me, sir, but I need to move this table.
What?
There's an empty seat over there.
I appreciate what you are trying to do, but it is not appropriate. You were her friends. I was only her commanding officer.
Sir, I happen to know that she considered you a friend.
So I want to back up because I forgot in that last clip that they had that little piped in music thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think that's an official announcement. Yeah, that was an official thing. Announcement. Yeah. And we don't hear that very often.
No, not really.
So I thought that was an interesting sound. That's why I left it in there. But yep. With this one, you can see Worf is like hit hard by the loss of Sito.
Yes.
And, you know, it's because she's a kinship, they're kinship spirits, right? Yeah. And of course, Lavelle blames himself because that's what Riker would do.
Well, I don't know that Lavelle necessarily blames himself, but he just feels guilty about seeing the job because he thinks he got it. Because
yeah, he thinks that's the only reason he got is because she's not alive to get it.
Well, but Torek nailed it, though. I think the best way to remember her is to excel at your job.
Right.
Yeah, but I really like this. This was a good, it was fitting.
I like how he points across like three empty tables to their table and says, there's a chair over there.
Yes.
I'm going to be Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because that's Ben character is the one that straddles both worlds, right?
Yes,
he hangs out with the junior officers, but he's no stranger to hanging out with the senior officers either.
Well, yeah, one of the things we didn't touch on is when the junior officer game wraps up, he actually leaves and goes to the senior officer game and continues playing with Riker and Worf.
Yep. And
what would have been funny is if he said, you know, there's a seat over there. Did you know that they're all from Russia?
I hear they're all Canadian.
Yeah, that would have fit the tone.
Yes.
That's his standard line to get somebody to talk to another.
That would have at least given a reason for it.
Really? My grandfather was from Russia.
Russia's from Russia.
No.
All right, so this is a bit of a somber episode.
Yeah.
Sad, yes. Poignant.
All right, so episode name meaning. I don't think we ever went to Lower Decks.
Yeah, I was expecting to see steerage.
Yeah, what happened to, like, what's that bottom area of Babylon 5 called?
Down below?
Down below. Where's the down below for the next generation?
Yeah, I mean, nobody even went into a Jeffrey's tube.
But, you know, when Babylon 5 did their version of this episode, they also did not go anywhere near down below or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, with the two dock workers.
The janitors.
Oh, janitors, sorry.
The two janitors where they're watching the combat and they're like, okay, well, when it blows up red, it's ours. When it blows up blue, it's theirs because of the atmosphere inside the ships. The doctor told me that the other day. I was like, great touch, but who thinks about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess maybe when they're in their quarters having their poker game. That could have been Lower Decks.
Yeah.
Well, I think it has to do with where they're assigned, because all the commanding officers are going to be on the upper decks. The lower the deck, the worse your apartment. I think that's the apartment he's complaining about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a Vulcan roommate who stays up all night improving the ship.
At least he doesn't complain about the way he smells.
Yeah.
All right, so German episode name meaning, or name.
She dies at the end.
Redemption and death.
Oh, there you go. Nice. All right. Let's see. I'm not sure if I have this in the right order.
Well, there is no order. Just move it down.
Oh, you're right. Dang it.
Upshweight picked this one.
Ah, that means Captain goes first.
Thanks, Bob Shway.
All right, so there's no doubt about it. I really enjoyed this episode, and I think this could be an episode that you could show to somebody, and I think they would be very impressed with Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, I think this would be it's definitely one of those that is, well, for one thing, it's different than most of the other episodes.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I really like the episodes that change the pace a bit. You know, we don't have a monster of the week or...
Right.
Or like you said earlier in the document, Gary, a diplomatic incident of the week. Well, yeah. This is something that happens in wartime. But it's that story isn't the primary story.
Right.
That's just what it's kind of all around is based around. It's all about the friendships. And so I really like this. So to me, I'm going to say it's dazzling. I mean, the character development, to me, I think it did have some, as far as the main characters go. Seeing Worf with his student, I thought that was really good. And the fact that he's trying to improve her or show her the error of her ways.
Yes. Well, and there was character development for the senior officers basically at the poker table where Troy really did her job for once.
Yeah.
No couch necessary.
That's right. Where the writers actually let Troy be effective.
That's a totally great point.
It is.
Because she has really had an impact on the ship with that one poker game.
Yep.
And, you know, just like you said, where Geordi decided, you know what, I have to go do some nacelle work.
Yes.
Right. He'll be awake. He's in his room thinking of ways to increase the effectiveness of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's it for me. An 8 dazzling. I really enjoyed this. And I have not seen it since it came out, probably. So, this was a great one for me to watch because I don't remember it hardly at all. I mean, I faintly remember it. I remembered liking it, but I'm glad I saw it again.
I would give this a 9. I loved that they made these characters into real people in one episode.
Oh, yeah.
I love that we got to see a lot of character build in, you know, our main cast with their interactions with these subordinates. I liked sort of the psychology of the fact that it's really all of them dealing with their younger selves.
Yeah,
you know, kind of. Younger versions of them. And I really, they took, like, to me, like, Sato really was the sweetest of the younger officers. And she's the one that dies. And she doesn't die a Yar death.
No.
She knows what's going on. She knows this is a possibility. She goes into it, you know, and she's like, you know, no, this is what we do. This is what our job is. This is what we need to do. She doesn't hate the Cardassian. She takes him at his word when he says, I'm sick of this. And she says, you know, she lets him know that it's nice to see a Cardassian who's better than she's expected. You know, she doesn't throw him any shade. She's not mean to him. She's just like, I really appreciate that that's why you're doing this. And I have to admit, when they get to the end and she dies, I get a little misty-eyed. I'm like, oh, man.
Yep.
You know, I wanted her to be on the show more. I like, like I said in the trivia, it gets to the end. I'm like, oh, no, that's not how it needs to end. We need to figure out a way to get her back. So I liked it. I think it... I like the fact that the A story is actually obfuscated. The A story, we don't get to see.
Right.
The B story becomes the main one, but in every other episode, it would be the B story. And I like that, you know, they're all just people in this. And I like that.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going as high as you guys. I am going to give it... I almost want to give it a carry rating and go 7.5.
Go ahead, give it a carry rating. It's okay.
I very rarely do that, but...
Come on, you know you want to.
It doesn't quite hit dazzling for me, but it was really good, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to give it an exceptional plus.
So that's a what?
7.5.
She made you say it.
Yeah, she wanted to hear me say it again.
I won't hear you say it again. That's okay. I can replay it at this point.
Yes, you can.
Before Carrie goes on, the only downside I saw to this episode is at the beginning, this totally was, watching it again, the whiny Skywalker effect for those characters at the very beginning. I'm like, oh my god, stop complaining.
Yeah.
But I got that.
Yeah, but that doesn't last very long.
No.
No. And, I mean, for me, the jarring part was the Picard at the beginning. It was just like...
Yeah.
Anti-Picard. Okay, so my turn?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. I really enjoyed this episode. I really like seeing the interplay between the junior officer and senior officers. And they were clever in the way that they moved between the scenes, which I really appreciated. And I really did like the fact that Troy got to actually do something. So I'm going to not give it a carry rating, because I was initially going to give it a carry rating, which is what Mike did.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say it's an 8 for me. Nice. I was going to give it a 7.5, but I upped it to 8 because...
Troy? Because of Troy?
Well, because of a lot of things. Because, you know, the way it was written was so well done. It had humor in it. And it's such a deep, sad ending that the lighthearted stuff at the beginning doesn't set you up. So you're not prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And for me, that kind of... That tipped it from 7.5 to 8 because it was dazzling. It was clever the way that they did that. It was emotional. There was a lot of character development. You know, I don't know that it would make a great movie, but
right.
I would watch it again. But I don't know about it being a way to introduce someone to Trek.
I think it works.
No, because you have these characters that you never really see again.
Yeah, but that's all right, because you see the main ones, too.
I know, but you don't really see the main ones. I think someone would get confused if they saw this and maybe might have different expectations for Trek.
Well, here's one thing I'd like to see with the new Star Trek is I'd like them to... Like, I really enjoyed having Nurse Ogawa there in the background and O'Brien in the background. And I wish they'd have some more of these background characters and occasionally do episodes around them.
Right.
They make it feel more fleshed out.
Yes.
And then another thing, just because I came up with one suggestion, now I have to come up with two.
He hates odd numbers.
Yeah.
One of the things that the early original series episodes did really well is they would show, like, they would have different shots of like people in the phaser room and people in engineering and getting ready and stuff like that, which also made, and again, that's original series.
Yep.
It made it feel pretty fleshed out. Like there was a lot of the 400 people or however many people are supposed to be on the Enterprise there.
Yeah.
And I like those type of shots too.
Yep.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well, and they didn't have to show as many because they did reference the gamma shift, you know, when they were doing the drill.
Right.
So you do know that there are multiple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Groups of people.
So were you finished, Gary?
Yeah.
What was that?
Unknown.
For 100 Quatloos.
This is a test of some kind, isn't it?
Wager. 100 Quatloos. 400 Quatloos. 200 Quatloos against.
It's Technologic Trivia.
Yay!
Woo!
I thought you had left us for a second.
I did. Well, I have a question for Ben.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Oh, this is a long one. Okay, Ben. I figured out how I'm going to ask this question, because it's like an essay-type question in terms of, like, the length of the question. To blend in on Sigma Iosha 2, Kirk and Spock took on roles as gang members. Okay. Despite being captured several times, they ended up taking peaceful control of the planet on behalf of the Federation. However, McCoy left behind a standard piece of equipment on the planet, meaning the trouble may not have ended with their visit.
Oh!
What was this piece of Starfleet technology?
Ah! I totally know.
What?
I do.
Oh, God, what did he leave behind? His communicator.
Yep.
Woo! Nice. I don't know how he left it behind, but he did.
Yes. Well, remember, they were constantly having all of their stuff taken away from them every time they were captured again.
Right.
Seems you might want to implant some of your DNA into it so you can, like, you know, transport it back.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It seems like by then they would have a Find My Communicator program.
A nice little app.
Well, or like a remote self-destruct. I mean, you can do that with phones now.
Yeah, you know, Carrie, I can put in I can request the paperwork for us to put that in for our crew. Then we'd be able to beam things from across time.
Nice.
I don't know that we want to beam things from across time.
Then we could do Bill and Ted tricks.
No, I mean, we can beam back our stuff if we leave it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm worried about Chris trying to beam stuff back.
It's like, where did I leave the keys to the ship? I'm just going to beam them back in time when I get back. So
that's fine. What are the senior officers asked to okay all of his requests anyway?
Yeah, I mean, the captain will be like, I had my DNA implanted in the remote for my television so I could beam it from the desk over there when I'm sitting in the chair.
Yeah,
that's okay. We put a site-to-site microtransmitter in his room for that.
That's right. I need a site-to-site transport for my remote.
Please, he's requested that so much, he's got one of those little micro things from the movie in his remote. It's voice-activated.
Hey, Mike?
Yes?
Wait, let me make sure it's the right one. Yeah, it's the right one. Whose Vulcan Katra did Archer carry after Siren mind melded with him?
Oh my god. The original Vulcan.
What?
Vulcan number one. Vulcan Prime.
Wow.
You're about to have a hemorrhage and you're holographic.
What the heck was his name?
I think Mike's short-circuiting.
Because
I'm going to tell you, Vulcan Prime's not on this list.
No, it's not. But that's totally who it is.
If only you knew the name.
Steal.
That's two definitely. People that have tried to steal from you, Mike.
Yes.
Man, he's using other mics now. Further processing power.
Somebody has to have it stored somewhere.
You know, if your firewall wasn't so good, I'd send you the information.
Don't help him. He'll just get further ahead of you, Ben.
As long as he gets ahead of the captain.
I can't remember his name.
Remember, he was in the original series episode, The Savage Curtain.
Remember, he was Vulcan Prime.
Yes, I know who it is. I just can't remember his name.
You could give me access to your firewall key. I'll send you the information.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
The only Vulcan Prime I know about it is Spock.
No.
Yeah, Spock Prime.
He is a Spock Prime. He is a Vulcan Prime, not the Vulcan Prime.
Oh.
All right, I need the multiple choice.
Oh, I hear our listeners like collectively having a heart attack. Is it A, T'Less, B, T'Pol, C, Sarak, or D, Sarek?
Oh my god. Crap. The thing that kills me is that Sarak and Sarek is what was stuck in my head, and I'm like, what? I'm going to guess Sarak.
So you mean C?
Yes.
Wow, I made him do two things today.
Yay.
Woo.
Oh, that was hilarious with C and B.
I know.
If only listeners could have seen the look on his face.
I know. It was like Riker. Riker being asked about being from Canada. That's what he looked like. Except holographic. Okay, Chris.
Yep.
Oh, look. Chris. Where did Wesley's final mission take place before he left for Starfleet Academy?
Wow. I haven't really studied Wesley's career that much.
Yeah. Is that a trick question? Oh, no. He was technically an ensign. I forgot he got field promotion.
It was something with Captain Picard.
It was something with the Enterprise.
I think he was on a shuttle.
Yeah.
None of these are shuttle names.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I lost my...
Okay. Right, so next question.
Was it A? Well, I assume you're giving up, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is it A, Alpha Onias 3, B, Lambda Paz, C, Pentaris 5, or D, Pentaris 3?
Nice.
I'm going to go with B.
Nice!
I'm not going to go with the answer. I'm just going to go with the letter.
That's right.
Letter B.
He doesn't even remember what the answer, what B was.
I know. That's okay.
What was B?
B was Lambda Paz. It's spelled like Pez, but with an A.
Yeah, somebody just made that one up.
I'm pretty sure somebody made all of them up.
Oh, hey, Ben. Look, the book really likes you.
Again? He just got two quadlers on the last one.
Ben, ironically, who had to teach the Cardassians how to be revolutionaries?
Oh, my God. You have got to be kidding me.
Kira.
Say her whole name.
Man.
Say her whole name. Actually, they only have Kira in the book.
Oh, my God.
I could have not known that. And with the ironically
there. Yes, I know.
Mike. Ben. You should be able to get this one.
Do you honestly think I don't know her full name?
No. I'm sure you do. I just was...
He was just begrudging you.
Anything slightly more difficult.
Okay, Mike.
Yes?
I know you're not going to get this one. During what Vulcan month of the year, 2237, did Spock travel back to write his personal history in the animated episode Yesteryear?
Oh my God! Got to be kidding me!
What did you do to the book?
Wow!
Embruary.
Embruary.
Volktober.
Oh my gosh.
I like Volktober.
No, it's Spocktober.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And no, I think it's Spocktember.
Spot Pepper.
Okay, I'm totally going to mispronounce all of these.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to matter. It won't matter. Is it Alagnon?
Alagnon?
L hyphen.
How long is this name?
I'm trying to pronounce it and it's not working for me. L hyphen L A N G O N.
Wow. Okay.
Langon. That's A. B is Shikar. C is Tasmin. And D is Ichaya.
That was his pet's name.
Ah, dang it.
I'm going to go with Langon.
Lolita?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I pressed the wrong button.
Oh, okay.
But no, that's not real. Or it wasn't right either.
Dang it! It wasn't C again, was it?
Yes, it was.
Dang it!
Oh, this is too funny.
That one was a bruiser.
Oh yes.
I don't know what you did to the.
Shikar was his hometown. Tasmin was the
month.
Lalangan was the name of some mountains.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're all actually names from the episode.
Yeah, the mountains were where he had to go for his trial.
Okay, Chris.
Yes.
Who designed the triple props?
Ah! God!
I can't
the book is punishing you.
To give that question.
I just think it's funny after the whole guinea pig thing we talked about like 3 minutes ago.
I know, that's what I'm saying. The book is punishing Chris for that.
All right. I'm going to go... Let's see, what's a good 1960s name?
Wait, what was the name of that guy that's been working on costumes since Sigmund the Sea Monster?
Unfortunately, I can't go back and check. All right, I'm going to go with Robert April.
That's not even on this list. You should have gone with Spocktember.
Yeah. Robert Spocktember.
Bob Bobberson. Is it A, Bob Justman, B, Gene Roddenberry, C, Wah Chang, or D, David Gerald?
I'm going to go with Wah Chang, although I thought he did the Romulan ship.
Wow!
All right.
Okay, let's see.
The fortnightly double.
Fortnightly double.
Come on, no Vulcan months.
Okay. If you know the answer, you need to write down your wager and your answer on a piece of paper, although let's be fair, only Ben is going to guess. So, Ben, just wait till everybody says they give, or listen for their sighs of disgust. What was the weakest point of a Jem'Hadar ship's shields? What was the weakest point of a Jem'Hadar ship's shields?
We need to make Star Trek tongue twisters.
I remember them talking about it.
She sells ship shields by the seashore. All right, Ben.
Well, he didn't hear any of your disgusted sighs.
Jinx. That was a bit of a delay.
I know.
I couldn't figure out where the sound was coming from.
All right.
No.
What's your choice? It's like, what, aft?
Yeah.
Actually, it's aft of something. It's very specific. I remember them talking about it. Just aft of this is where you shoot to disable their shields.
The belly button, I think.
But I can't remember what it's aft
the fulcrum.
Of. The fulcrum, yes.
No, not the fulcrum. The fulcrum. That's that thing right here.
Yes, just aft of that.
I'm pointing to like that little spot above your lip.
I said that's across her nose, not up it.
Where Gabriel put his finger and said, shh.
Yes.
Okay, so you're giving up, Ben?
Yes.
Ben calls uncle on this one. So, listeners, this becomes listener question for TNL 184. What was the weakest point of a Jem'Hadar ship's shields? If you know the answer, send me a private message to on Twitter. You can send me a direct message on Twitter, a private message on our forums, or an email to carrie@technologic.com with your answer and win 2 Quatloos so that you can pick an episode kind of like Bob Shway just did.
Hey, Bob Shway!
And then we just released 183, so I'm not going to...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
I'm not going to give that points away because it would be giving points away to no one.
Yes.
Or the few people that actually, I think we're 2 so far that have emailed.
Wow, from the release today? That's pretty good.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Hey, this is our shout out to Christian1313 for his website, technologicanalyzer.justplainapps.com. It shows all the scores and all the statistics you need. It's just like baseball, but for Star Trek. All right. Hey, any other call-outs that need to be done?
No. Ooh, thanks for listening.
We're still here.
To our listeners for putting up with absences?
Yes. We're trying to get back on a regular schedule.
Yeah, but vacation is interfering with it.
Yep.
First Christmas vacation, now spring vacation. Ugh. How many vacations do these guys get?
Hey, maybe we'll actually get to go on this one.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
No.
Remind me to give you the exclusion subroutine.
From the temporal stops.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. And you know what? We love feedback. In fact, we re-listen to and discuss our feedback in the Listening Post podcast, which was released last year.
We had one a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This time.
The giant one. That's right.
Yes.
All right. You can give us feedback by giving us a great iTunes review. We love iTunes reviews because we don't ever get them. Anyway, you can email us at feedback@technologic.com. You can even email us voicemails. We love those, too. We really like to hear from our listeners. You can tweet us at Technologic. You can find us on Facebook. And we have the Technologic forum at technologic.com. So, join our discussions and let us know what you think. Hey, Carrie, what are we reviewing next time?
Hey, so next time we're going to do another listener pick. So we're just cranking these out.
That's right.
Yeah, Scarlet Phantom cashed in and wants us to review the Deep Space Nine episode Necessary Evil. Or as Chris likes to call it, A Usual Sunday.
I thought I called it our pilot Ben. I mean, Bill.
Woo, I got a promotion!
I don't know that you want that promotion. I don't think they've disabled that button that explodes the pilots yet.
That's fine. I'll just redigitize.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because that would give Captain Chris too much satisfaction.
Oh, yeah. If you blow you up and you just go out into those little cubes and then suck back together again.
Yeah.
So many times.
I get to return the favor. That's in my contract.
No, see, it's all a part about, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
That's right. True. Right before we go on a mission, got to hit the button. Just standard. All right. Well, until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Technologic, love long and prosper.
Why? So you can get promoted, have more responsibilities, and have to do bloopers even earlier? Wait, no, I didn't like that one. That one was bad. Never mind. That's a bad blooper.
Bloop that blooper.
Bloop that blooper. No. The other one, I was like, oh, that one's not so good. This was too serious of an episode. I had another one. Why don't we just give everybody a blooper and call it a night?
That works.
Hey! I'd buy that for $1.
I never thought I'd hear a Cardassian say something like that.
And I never Bajoran would risk life to help
not on mute.
And get home.
That was Jorrit pouring her a long, tall glass.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. If
you're rich, Cardassian milk.
You might as well have some of this.
Remember, anytime you do something, if you're not on mute, we're inside of it.
I know, I forget. I forget that you can hear my heartbeat if it's in the wrong spot.
All right, let me play that again.